In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. In today's gospel, Jesus presents himself to the disciples. He shows them his hands and his sides, and he proves the sacrifice he made for them to live freely. He says, "Receive the Holy Spirit, and let peace be with you. It is your turn to be sent out, just as I have been sent for you." As I read the gospel, I kept recalling memories within this church and with this youth group. I remember times where I received the Holy Spirit in this room with these people. Those memories have formed a stable community that each of us seniors call our family. We have spent the last 7 years developing ourselves and our own purpose in confirmation class, Sunday school, Sunday night EYC, mission trips, and acolyting. Each of us preaching today started as little ones, as sheep and cows in the Christmas Eve pageant. We spent many, many children's chapel with Miss Lisa, consumed by the sandbox, or fighting for the baby doll with the baptism set. We transitioned into youth group as little fifth graders, shy and hesitant, and now we stand before you all today as confident seniors ready to be sent out like the disciples, a representation of how this church community's support is impacting all of the youth. We began to outgrow Children's Chapel against our will. We observed the work taking place at the altar. We admired the acolytes as they ascended the steps in their white robes, and we longed for the day that we would be able to wear them too. Now we are the ones guiding the path to Children's Chapel instead of playing in the sandbox, and we prepare the altar for communion. Acolyting doesn't just make the service go by faster. It is a plus, though. But it allows the youth group to work together as a team and depend on one another to execute a service with perfection, which is hardly ever reached. Each of the acolytes will probably agree that they have learned more about the church while acolyting than they ever have while sitting in the pew. As seniors, we have performed countless services, and every time we carry the big cross down the center aisle, our hearts are filled with so much pride that we were chosen to serve and that we were chosen to lead the way into the church and into a time of worship. And that feeling never fades. We finished the service and we hope that nobody in the congregation noticed how we missed a cue or spilled some wine. Do you think anybody noticed me slam the pew with the thurible? Hopefully it wasn't that too loud. Of course, our youth family wouldn't be complete without our fearless leader. We were so fortunate to have two remarkable ones over the span of our time in EYC. They will probably not want us to brag on them, but after all, this is Youth Sunday, and it wouldn't be right to leave out the people who were and are so impactful to this group. We started out with Aaron in fifth grade when CY2 met monthly in the mobile youth room trailer down by the gym. She guided us through the awkward middle school years as we formed relationships within the group. She nurtured us, and we truly were the big kids of her family. We will be forever grateful for her implementation of the candy bucket and limitless mission trip snacks. When she made the decision to resign, we weren't really sure if we could find anyone to put up with our donut-loving youth group. But, like today's gospel says, we had to stop doubting and believe that the Lord would lead us to find the right person to lead this group. As seniors, it was a huge concern to us that the youth group be in good hands as we leave St. Paul's. We wanted someone who would acknowledge the firm foundation already intact here. We needed someone who could take our traditions and build on them.
So then we came across Will. Will became part of the family from the start. He was always intrigued and interested in learning about our personalities and interests. I think that's what made us like him so much from the beginning. Although we have only known Will for a few months, he has played a huge part in preparing us for the future. He has stood by us while we made college decisions and helped us say goodbye to our head priest. He has kept our traditions in mind while his creative juices flowed over projects and Sunday night activities. Who knew pretzels could be part of Lent? He entrusted us with the walls of the youth group as we graffitied it, and he supported our idea to test our team bonding by locking ourselves in the escape room. But that's just how he is, all in. He makes any of our teenage dreams possible. We've had such a firm foundation when Will joined this group, and he has been so willing to keep it thriving. I think Will and Aaron are real-life representations that I have going into the world and following the Lord's purpose for each of us. These two very different people have shaped us and this youth group. With the guidance of these two leaders, I'm equipped and confident to be sent out as disciples to do purposeful work. So thank you for leading our family and guiding us through to be purposeful members of God's kingdom. During church, the youth group saw each other in passing, and on Sunday nights, we would have dinner together in the youth room, followed by a discussion. These make our friendships grow on one level. The mission trips dug down to the next level. Mission trips bring us together through time spent on the bus, the variety of work we have accomplished, and most of all, the laughs exchanged throughout the week. Mission trips teach us many things, such as hard work. With such a large and determined group, we finish our tasks in record time. We work in the middle of June and July, making it some of the hottest days in Texas. Yes, we stop for water breaks, but once we see the task at hand, we are motivated by the vision of the finished product at the end of the week. Patience. Patience is key for mission trips. As the week progresses, the work becomes more tedious than the last day. But as St. Paul's, we are more determined than any to finish the task at hand. And love. Mission trips teach you how to love on a much deeper level than Sunday nights. Coming on a mission trip, your heart has to be open, because by the end, 30 new people will make their way into it. Mission trip love is unlike any other. Sitting in a huge circle at the end of the week and being part of someone's blessing will be the highlight of your week. Love is having timed showers so the hot water doesn't run out and sweating off 100 pounds in the Texas heat. Love is feeding the homeless of Houston and making silly horror movies after a long day's work. Love is having one of the most beautiful Eucharists on the beaches of Galveston. And love is coming back to a congregation of St. Paul's and knowing that it'll always be our home.
Growing up in St. Paul's, I too have received an undeniable amount of love. Love that has helped me grow and flourish as an individual. Although I have never literally seen the Lord, I have had the privilege of experiencing firsthand some of his most beautiful creations. To me, the most glorious thing God has blessed us with is children who have big eyes and even bigger hearts. And I stay in complete awe year after year, seeing him at work in those kids at Vacation Bible School. As I get older, my love for children only grows, and I attribute so much of that to the experiences I received here with Miss Lisa. However, I know that passion wasn't just something I happened to tap into. It was something I was blessed with. I am fortunate enough to look into the eyes of eager and excited five-year-olds every single day as a teacher's assistant in a kindergarten class. Being in a classroom day after day takes me back to the things I can remember about when I was their age. My childhood dreams of being a veterinarian or a princess. Yet here I am, right at the brink of growing up, and I have created an entirely new dream for myself. Our gospel today says, "Blessed are those who believe and do not see." And what is that phrase, if not the definition of faith? Through St. Paul's, my faith has been nurtured, and so many have helped it grow. But now I'm about to go out into the world, and I must keep that faith strong without that help that I'm so accustomed to. I must be able to find God in what is beyond these holy walls, and above all, I must believe without seeing. However, that is hard for me. I like my clarity, and I like my tangible things. But God is far from those sometimes. But through so many Sundays here, sitting in these pews, I have learned that at those times of confusion, I should listen to the things around me that could have only originated from someone so powerful and so great. And I have found that every time I look into the eyes of any of my kindergartners, I have this overwhelming feeling that God is there. And their laughs only solidify it all the more. I have these innocent children standing before me that I can impact. I can be the start of them crafting their very own dream. And that is so amazing. So the fears that surround me about money completely disappear. When I know that I will get to see God at work in those kids daily, for the greatest gift I've received here is the knowledge that he is greater than me in every sense of the phrase. And just the thought of being able to see him in the eyes of his most wonderful creations puts me at peace.
God is a parent in the teachers and mentors of the students as well. He often appears to us as youth through those who are older and wiser. Mentors and elders are often the ones helping us and guiding us through tumultuous times in our lives. In the Gospel from John today, we are called to believe without seeing, to have faith. Our elders are the ones that teach us how to believe and have faith. Halfway through eighth grade, as my cardiologist looked at my parents and me, my heart was broken literally and figuratively. I could hardly breathe, let alone comprehend his statement, "You require heart surgery." I had known his words were inevitable, but here, now? I had been running my entire life, and now I found myself falling into doubt. As we headed home, my parents tried to console me with words of empathy, but I didn't believe. I found myself doubting instead of believing in the future set before me. As far as I was concerned, the world was against me. What right did it have to deprive me of something I so enjoyed? When I run, I'm not the kid with a messed up heart. I'm just a normal runner, clearing my head. When we arrived home, I promptly shut myself in and everyone else out. For the next several weeks, I continued coming to church and heard many times, "You're in our prayers," and "You can do this," "You are strong." Many of you told me you were praying for me and knew that I would be all right. I would kindly nod and mumble some thanks. What I really wanted to do was ask how you could believe and trust in a future that was still very intangible. I soon began to realize that trusting in the future was how I could climb out of the doubt where I had fallen. The day had come for the surgery. I said a prayer with Father Chuck and my family. The next sensation I had was waking up with a scratchy feeling in my throat. I then looked at my chest and saw something I didn't expect. It was just a dashed black marker line where the stitches should have been. I looked around only to see my parents were crying, the doctors were smiling, and I was, at this point, very confused. I asked a doctor the question that was pounding in my head, "What happened?" He replied, "I cannot explain what happened to you. Someone was watching over you today, because your heart has healed enough to not require surgery. Someday, but not today." As I stepped back into life, I stood stronger, basking in the feeling of standing shoulder to shoulder with so many of you who had helped me through such a tumultuous time. Now, I am running hard to keep everyone included in my life instead of closed out. This is what we feel we are sent from St. Paul's to do, to embrace others and welcome them into our lives as this community has done for us. Amen.